talking with Victor when I walked in. Isn't it great that our devotional worked out? Of course, the way it's designed that way. So at Father's Day, we'll have the same thing. But our word today, what's our word in our devotional today? Mothers, yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about mothers today. Nothing sad. I don't do sad stories. I can't make it through them. You wouldn't benefit from it. Those of us who have lost our mothers, it's days like this, or we're excited for our spouses, but we're sad because we don't have our moms with us. So that's a... you'll share her. Oh, there you go. There you go. We'd take her. We'd take her. Yeah. She corrected herself. She started out, "I'll give you mine," to "I'll share her with you." There you go. That's what she meant. She would share. If only it were that easy, right? It's not. That's not the way it works. Just in the devotional, let me point out a couple of things, and then we'll move through this. And kind of what we want to do today is, just from a biblical standpoint, we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about moms, and hopefully we will be blessed from that. On day one, I love the... When you think about moms and there's a Bible passage that comes to mind, what is that passage, generally speaking? Proverbs 31, right? I mean, most people... I thought that on that day the author did a good job with Proverbs 31. King Lemuel, it's one of the few Proverbs that's written by someone other than Solomon. And there are several things written about King Lemuel. No one really knows who he is. And so some people think that maybe this is like a pseudonym or a pet name, if you will, for Solomon. But nonetheless, it's just a beautiful description. The last 22 verses, a beautiful description of a godly woman. Let me just add this to that day, because when you read Proverbs, how many of you read through Proverbs 31 recently? You know, okay. So if here's the way I feel personally, if I'm not a woman, I'm not mixed up with my gender. So let me say this. But if I were a woman and I read through Proverbs 31, I would think, man, what a big task, right? I would almost feel like I don't measure up when I read that. Okay, so my opinion. Now this is obviously a man writing about his mother. Okay, but I personally feel like these are qualities that many women display. Like, I mean, I don't know one single woman who does everything that Proverbs 31, the last 22 verses, encompasses. That would be superwoman. Okay. I did. Her and every other... Yes. Her and every other woman I know. Bar none. I mean, honestly, do you agree? When you start to read through that, it is absolutely unbelievable. It's a description, and I think it is that those are qualities of... I mean, now, if we were to do this, if we were to read through Proverbs 31, the last 22 verses, and we were to talk about women that we know that display some of those characteristics and qualities, then we can think of many women, right? But to think of one woman that has every single quality of Proverbs 31, I would say it would be difficult, okay? With the exception of Cynthia. Right. So. Who, yes. So, and if you do find her, it's valuable, which is the whole point. But I think it starts out that way. And don't forget, this is one from verse 1 all the way. We usually focus on the last 22 verses, but all of it, and I thought the devotional writer did a good job, all of it is to be put together. So it's an interesting telling, if you will, Now, how many of you agree with that? How many of you think about, I mean, do you know one person who has every one of those qualities in Proverbs 31? Anyone that has every single quality mentioned there? And that's not in any way to put down women. Please don't take it that way. But I think sometimes we share verses like that and we put up this view that is hard to attain. So ladies, number one, fear the Lord, right? That would be the first and foremost quality, to fear the Lord. And then whatever your talent, whatever your gift, whatever your ability is, use it in whatever way you can to benefit the Lord and your family. And I think that's the takeaway for me. So when I read Proverbs 31, I don't think about one particular woman. I mean, I've known so many different ladies who had these characteristics, these qualities, a few of them. Maybe you know someone who has several of them. And what a wonderful image, memory of people. But as much as I love my mom does not have all of these qualities. So, but you may know someone who has every single one. I'm not for sure. So Proverbs 31. Motherhood and leadership. On day 2, paragraph 3, page 125. However, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes to encourage these young Christians, and he says, now notice this, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Verse 7 from 1 Thessalonians 2. And then he ends by saying that the people had become very dear to him and his companions. Let me take us away from mothers real quick and talk about leadership in the church, guys, very quickly. You know, I think sometimes we feel like leadership in the church. So when I read day 2, I think sometimes we feel like leadership in the church has to be, you know, strong-willed, strong-armed, you know, like we're tough. But notice the imagery that Paul uses in talking about how he interacted with the church at Thessalonica. And notice that imagery. It's like a nursing mother taking care of her baby. Guys, let me just say, that's the kind of love, care, compassion that the church needs from leadership. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest leaders in all of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. One of the greatest leaders in all of the Bible. Let me back up and just kind of broaden that even more. So Paul is describing his own leadership in that way. Now, if I were to have asked you before we read that passage and made these comments, do you think Paul is a weak leader? What would you say? No, not at all. I mean, how would you describe Paul's leadership? Demands, controls, passionate, yes, you would say things like very committed, right? A strong commitment, an unwavering commitment. I mean, think about how many people tried to hurt him in some way, whether it was through their preaching. You know, he talks about some people preach out of selfish motive, you know, to do me harm. I mean, I think there's a lot we could say about his leadership, but describing his own leadership, he describes it in a very compassionate way, a very caring and loving and nurturing way. So let me ask this question. As a church, what do we want? Do we want just that strong will always? Now, do you need a strong resolve? Yes, absolutely. But you need people who care about you too, don't you? And you've got to have both aspects to function as a group of God's people. And so I just think that is a beautiful description. It's interesting that Paul uses that kind of description in 1 Thessalonians 2 to describe his own leadership ability. And I just think that is a powerful lesson to us as leaders. And that's the only two comments I really wanted to make out of the 5 days of our devotion this week. Any other comments that you thought about that reading through this came to mind? Oh, yeah. Praying. Okay. You know, if we're looking at our days that we read these devotionals, that was a powerful part of, I can't remember exactly what day. Was it day 3 or 4 for Hannah? What day was that? Day 3? Okay. She was a praying woman, praying for her son, asking for God to bless her with a child. And so he became a great leader in God's kingdom, didn't he? And she never, I love that devotional because the way that they described it, she never wavered on her commitment to serving God. He blessed her with a child and she gave him right back to God in service. And so, but to your point, I would say that if Hannah was a praying woman to receive a gift like that, she passed that trait along, and that when Samuel becomes this great leader in God, of God's people, don't you know he was a praying man? For sure, I think so. Any other comments real quick? So let's do this for just a moment, okay? And I think this is important. Before I share several biblical examples, you know, what we have in Proverbs 31, if it is a true reflection of one man about his mother, which it very well could be, you know what we're reading in Scripture is we're reading about memories. So I want you to think of for a moment. What memory of your mother do you have that stands out more than any other? Is there a memory of a godly woman who has helped you in your faith? What memories do you have? Let's make this personal for a moment. Yes. So how many of you had a mom like that, right? I love my mom, but boy, that's exactly the way it is. It must have been in my notes that I had about, I thought it was one of the devotionals. Deborah, right? I mean, Israel needed a mother. She was kind of a mother to Israel, but was she a strong-willed lady? In a lot of ways, I would say yes, right? There's nothing wrong with that characteristic. Let me just say, you need that because if you don't, your kids will run over you. They will run over you. And if you don't have that, I mean, God gave parents children, right? He didn't just say, okay, you kids figure it out on your own, right? And so. If we're just always easy as parents, as mothers, how's that going to really help your child in the end? I mean, you could probably think right now of moms who were easy, did not discipline, you know, didn't just gave kids everything they wanted. Where are those kids today? Now, I realize there's probably exception to that. You know, there's probably some who turned out great. But I will tell you, some of those children that were always pampered, given everything that they wanted, never were disciplined for the wrongs they did, those children are challenged today, I would say, in some way. What else? What other memories? Sister Marilyn, do you have your hand up? But some things you do have. What Sister Marilyn said was her mom had a phrase, overlook it, just overlook it. And what a great lesson. Because sometimes we feel like everything that's stated, everything that happens, it affects us in a big way. Sometimes you just have to overlook stuff, right? You have to be patient and kind and caring. What else? But that's a memory that you have of helping to teach people the important truths of God's Word. How many of you had a mom like that? Several of you, that you could say that. Several of you could say that. Yes. Okay, so how many of you had mamas who kept a few secrets from dad about things you did? Yeah. Yeah, and aren't we grateful? We're thankful for that. Yeah. Okay. Let's think for just a few moments. Of course, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, it talks about mothers, right? You don't get through very few pages in the book of Genesis before we start to see even Eve, the name Eve, right? The very name that's given to the first lady is she's going to be the mother of all living, isn't that right? And there's so much about from the opening pages all through throughout Scripture that describe motherhood, that describe mothers. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, but she's nevertheless a part of the bigger story, right? And so it shows that even people can make mistakes and still have a great family. Yeah. Okay. Great thought. In the Old Testament, just the term, because you have to understand we're in the study that we're in throughout the year, it's not like let's take a word and have a lesson about moms in general. This study, the way it's geared, it's one word. So every week there is a different word, right? We're going to study one word every week. And so some of the stuff I'll share may be a little technical, and you may say, well, that's not really helping us to think about our moms. But this book is really geared to look at words and not specifically people in general. I'm going to look at some of the people from God's Word that were great mothers. But in the Old Testament, 168 times we hear that word mother. And again, there in the very beginning, and Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. So you don't get into she shall be the mother of nations. You don't get of Sarai. You don't get very far into the biblical story before you start to see the importance of this role of mother. And so you see it over and over and over and over. In the New Testament, the word's used 90 times. It's used sometimes symbolically. You remember when Jesus there in in the Gospels when his, you remember he's teaching and they have some confusion about who he is, and someone comes up to Jesus and he says, your mother and brother stand outside. You know, they thought he was crazy. They were coming to get him. They thought people were going to kill Jesus. And so, but his parents weren't necessarily, not his parents, not his mother, his siblings weren't necessarily on board. They weren't early believers. Did one of our devotionals talk about that? Yes. Okay. Was that day five? I think that might have been day five. Just a great, great story there. But the brothers and the sisters and mom, and you remember he said, but who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Basically, who's my family? Do you remember what he said? These who do the will of my Father, right? Don't miss that picture, ladies. I have known women in the church who did not have children. And yet they were some of the best mothers to children at church there ever was. And so I think more about that aspect because, you know, I wasn't always around my parents. I always lived off as a minister. Last 22 years I've lived several hours away from Christy's parents, from my parents. And so you learn to depend on those mamas in the church, right? We get to share our mothers. And so I'm thankful for that. And so please don't, even though you may not have kids, don't miss that aspect about Jesus using it symbolically, meaning that when we're in the family of God, there are going to be some wonderful godly ladies who are preparing those Bible classes and being a mother to so many other children. And what a blessing that is. And the same is true for, when we get to the word Father, the same very aspect is true for that as well. But so the Bible, at least in the New Testament, uses that term 90 times. Sometimes in specific, it's like talking about the mother of Jesus or the mother of, you remember the mother of the two disciples who came and asked Jesus, you know, if her boys could sit, one on the right and one on the left. Who was that mother? Mother of James and John. Doesn't that sound, we want to talk about the typical mom. Isn't that the typical mom? Do you agree with that? I'll tell you a quick story. This one won't make me sad, but my mom, you know, she thought I hung the moon, right? She told Christy's mother. She told Christy's mother on our wedding day. She said, he is the perfect child. He's never given me one moment or ounce of trouble. My mother never spoke truer words in all her life. Okay? But I'll tell you what my mom did once. So I was a pretty decent basketball player in high school. The way that let me think of how this worked. For all area, to make the all area basketball team, you had to first be put forth by your personal coach. Your coach had to submit your name. And then other coaches would vote on the team once all the names were in there. And they would pick five players. Well, for the first team and then five for the second team and then a few honorable mention. Well, I didn't make any of those teams, okay? And so that made my mother furious. And so she started digging, and you know what she found out was the coach never submitted my name. And so she tried to get the coach fired. And I thought, how awful is that? I never did that as a parent. You know, when our kids played sports, I would never do that. But yet my mama did that. You want to know why? Because she was like James and John's mama. You know, I want my boys to be one on your right hand and one on your left hand because they are the best thing since peanut butter, right? And you're talking about two-thirds of the inner circle. Peter and James and John. That's two-thirds, right, of that inner circle of Jesus. And she wants them one on the right and one on the left. And so you even in Scripture get some very truthful reality about mothers, don't you? Yeah, I could. Yes, I could have dunked a basketball. I can't now. Now, that would be from Wednesday night when I said, Tommy, I'm sorry, you're never. But that was to the point Wednesday night of Philippians 4:13. Yes, good memory. So over and over, you read about these wonderful mothers. When you think about the greatest image of your childhood, now there are exceptions to this, right? I mean, there are some moms who don't show very much love, don't show very much compassion. That would be the exception to this rule. Some people, and I know that I've had discussions with some folks from here who don't have a good relationship with their mother. Okay, so that would be the exception, and we're not going to really talk about that aspect. But when you think about some of the most precious memories that you have of your home life, a lot of those, some of those are centered around mom, aren't they? And the love of a mother, the compassion of a mother, sometimes the discipline of a mother. I mean, that has to be there. But some of those very important thoughts are there. So let me ask you before I give you my list. When you think about moms, is there a story in the Bible? Is there a passage of Scripture that comes to mind for you when you think about godly mothers? Or you think about it, a biblical example of mothers? Any one in particular stand out? Okay. Yes, so that's one of the ones I have, and without a doubt, here is what. So, sons and husband die, right? And how does Naomi address these two daughters-in-law? How many of you have great in-laws? Michael, raise your hand. Okay, I do. I'll get him, Susie. Smart man. I knew you were a smart guy. Okay. So I do as well. I mean, I have a great relationship with my in-laws, but I realize that sometimes that you are estranged with your in-laws. I understand that. But that story, in the book of Ruth is a beautiful story. And I thought specifically about, in chapter 1, verse 11, where she addresses them as my daughters. You know, what a great way concerning a mother who, right, these ladies married her boys. And yet, when they died, she considered them as mothers. And you might remember the words of Ruth in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You even see, and so you bring up, Victor, a very beautiful story. You see where she said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for where you go, help me out, I will go, right? And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die. Well, you have to have a fairly good relationship, and that's a mother to two daughter-in-laws. And what a beautiful, beautiful story. What other biblical stories come to mind? Scriptures that, when you think about mothers, this is one of those. Okay. Leaped. Okay, so first of all, if you want to just back up to think about Mary in general, and obviously she's one of the most important ones, I think. You know, think about the quality of a young girl that matures to the point where God, when He looks all over the face of the earth, He sees this one young girl who's not yet fully married. And you have to understand a little bit about the marriage process in that day. She's betrothed to her husband, but it's almost as strong as a marriage, although they haven't consummated the marriage. And so God says, you know, you're the one I've chosen to actually deliver and raise my son. And she accepts that. Let it be as you've said. You know, let it fall on me as you've said. And so so here she's carrying the beautiful Son of God. And when that exchange happens with John the Baptist, with his mother, Elizabeth, when they, you know, they're going to meet one another, and in Elizabeth's belly, you know, that baby just leaped in its womb over the excitement of a godly woman, but specifically carrying the Son of God. And you see that beautiful exchange early on in Scripture. So that's definitely a great one. Well, it just depends on how you look at, I mean, have your children ever wandered off? Yeah. So is it abandoning them or just, you know, I say to my kids, if you don't stick close by, it's your fault. You want to make it home where the food's on the table? You follow me, you know. Yeah. Walking up with it. He's ours. Okay, so let me tell you, I think about the reality of Scripture a lot, and I think behind the scenes a little bit. That exchange, Keith, with Jesus staying behind, they get a day's journey away, so they travel a day away, but then they got to travel a day back, and they end up finding him. Here's what... Okay, so to your example, Sherry, here's what I want to know. I want to hear the discussion that Mary and Joseph have going back that day's journey. That's what I want to hear. Wait a minute, I thought he was your response. No, you told me. Oh, I would love to. Wouldn't you love to hear that discussion? And there, you know, that's a reality of Scripture. We don't get it all, but how many of you have had a discussion about, you know, I thought you had him. No, I thought you had him. I mean, you never pay attention. That's what Christy would say to me, I guarantee you. You never pay attention. You can't even find your own keys. That's what she would say to me. You know, y'all have been there. Y'all understand it. But yes, a great example of, Keith, of the reality of raising kids. I mean, yes, Chuck. For a good cause, which is one of the first times we see adoption in the Bible, you know, if you look at it that way. So what a beautiful, you know, I can't, you know, Pharaoh was going to kill them all. What was it, 2 years and under? And so what does she do? She hides him and then gives him to Pharaoh's, puts him out there in a basket on the water. But Pharaoh's daughter gets him. I mean, doing the best you can. I'm not going to talk about this song because I'll start crying. I'll just tell you. But yeah, just doing the best you can, a beautiful picture. I'll tell you one that I also thought of was in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. You remember how Solomon, we talked a little bit about Solomon writing about his mother. You know, don't you know that he learned King Lemuel. Don't you know that King Lemuel learned some godly lessons from his mom, and we kind of see some of those practical ways coming out. Now, whether King Lemuel is Solomon, you know, just a pseudonym or a pet name, I'm not for sure. But just understanding that Solomon, in his wisdom, wrote much of Proverbs, we see that same wisdom coming out, don't we? We see the wisdom of Solomon coming out. I would say something that he learned from his mother, such a wise man. You remember the dispute over the baby? Does anyone remember? How did he solve that problem? Let's just cut it in half, right? I mean, that's the easiest way. We'll do it this morning. Let's just get the child and cut him in half, and we'll give half to this side and half to this side. And what was that telling about? Who? Because a mother who loves her child would do like what you suggested with Moses. What's in the best interest of this child? And so that mother steps up and says, just let her have him. You know, let her have him. I'm good with it. You know, he stays alive that way. The other mother was like, yeah, let's divide him half and two. Well, I mean, what mom would do that? Not the real mom. And so Solomon settled that dispute. There's just so many beautiful stories about what we see concerning motherhood. And once again, we made reference to Luke chapter 1, verse 34, with the word being given to Mary about raising, accepting the responsibility to bear and raise Jesus Christ in Luke 1, verse 34. You remember she asked, well, how can this actually happen? I've never been with a man, you know. And so the angel explains exactly what's going to happen. And you remember, behold, my maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word, in verse 38. And then the story that happens and ensues shortly thereafter is the story that Victor brought up about Mary and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. So you've got beautiful examples. Chuck, I think you bring up a good point about how many of you, talking about doing what's best for the Lord, they didn't consider it, you know, abandonment or, you know, leaving behind. They considered giving it to the Lord for His service. I mean, when you think about your children, a lot of people think about them in terms of, you know, I want them to be doctors and lawyers. I want them to be successful. But think about it. How many of us pray for our children to be missionaries, preachers, elders, deacons? See, I don't think it was just by chance that you had two wonderful servants in God's kingdom with Moses and with Samuel by chance. I think that happened as a result of people who were given, who gave their hearts completely to the Lord. Chuck, that doesn't happen. You don't turn your child over to the temple of the Lord to be raised by in the service of God unless you are first unbelievably committed to God, do you? You know, Moses the same way. I mean, a mother's trying to save him, but he ends up learning about his people over the process of time. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, rather than, you know, enjoying all the wonderful things about the household of Moses, he gave up all of those pleasures specifically for God's people. And he suffered right along with God's people. What a great leader in God's... But how do we think about our kids? You know? Is that the last thing that you would want of your child, is to be a preacher or, you know, a missionary or an elder? I mean, we always said we thought one of the four would just end up going, and they still might end up going to a mission field. Our kids went on so many mission trips, and we talked about how hard that would be if our kids went to in a mission field, but how blessed we would be and the people where they were serving would be. That's a great mentality, and I think that we see that over and over with these examples of giving children over to the service of the Lord. What a blessing that is. Any other comments? I think our time is up. Any other comments you want to make before we close? What mom, very quickly, what mom and grandmother were talked about for raising such a fine, spiritually motivated young man? Lois and Eunice. I figured someone would have mentioned that earlier, but what a great example of a grandmother and a mother teaching the Word of God to children. Sister Millie, did you have your hand up? Yes, great. Okay. I read your mind. Yes, great minds think alike. All right, we're done. Yes.